We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there, well, running my phone.
Yeah.
Our guest this morning is Pastor Jason Wilhelm. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm awesome. Good.
Do you like that little entertainment this morning?
Yeah. Hey, most of my days start like this, so right. It's okay.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all.
All right.
Would you please pray to start us out?
Father, we love you this morning, God. I thank you that you are sovereign in all things, Lord. There's not anything that ever comes at us that you wasn't prepared for, that you didn't have a plan for, Lord God. Thank you for that. Lord, I also thank you that you have a pretty good sense of humor about life, Lord. And God, we trust you this morning with all that we are. Lord, it's our prayer this morning that what you do right here in this place, God, would go out and it would change lives, Lord, that it would fill hearts, change lives, bring new life, Lord, bring revelation, God. Cause this to go beyond the reaches that it has ever went before. Lord, have your way, bring your kingdom, establish your will. Do that thing that you do, Lord, so well. We love you, we honor you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, State of Revival.
State of Revival, absolutely. Yeah, me too. Me too. I tell you what, when you think of the word revival, what does it conjure up in your mind? What do you think about when you think about revival? Do you think about the old four or five night meeting where we call in an evangelist and we try to get the whole town saved? What do you think of? Is it an old tent meeting that you think of when we think of the word revival? What I want to throw out there and suggest to you is that I believe for the most part that the church really misunderstands the concept of what revival really even is. And number one, revival is not even a Bible word. Mm. It's not in there. You're not going to find it. What you will find is the word revive. You know, we can get a grasp on what revive means. And the word revive, and it's only used in the Old Testament, but the word revive in every case in the Old Testament, it's a personal thing between us and the Lord, or a corporate thing. Will you not revive your people that they may praise you, David said in the Psalms. Revival is a state of being in the Lord. I want to look a little bit at the word and how it plays out. And hopefully we as a church and as a people begin to change. I'm telling you this, what God wants to do in your life, in my life, in every life that is his, is to have it in a constant state of revival. Now, I may say a few things that's going to challenge you. I'm going to be as quick as I possibly can with this, but I'm going to say a few things that may challenge you. We're going to look at two sides of revival. Number one, I want to look at Jesus in revival. You may be saying, what? Jesus in revival? Yeah, Jesus in revival. He was in a constant state of it. Life always happening there, right? Being the life of God. So, number one, Jesus. I want to look at Jesus. Number two, I want to then look at the apostles after Jesus had ascended and what the state of revival corporately in the church looked like. Powerful, world-changing revival going on there. And number three, what I want you to understand is that revival has nothing to do directly. Revival is not for the lost.
Mm-mm. Come on.
Nope. You see, something has to be alive for revival to be happening in it. If it's dead, spiritually dead, there is no reviving something that's spiritually dead. Revival is life. Let me give you a definition. It's to restore consciousness of life. It is life always coming to the surface in something that is alive. It is to restore from an unused state. It is to renew in mind. It is to have the mind become renovated to a whole new thing. It is to make active and flourishing. That's revival. Awakening is what happens when someone, they awaken to who the Lord is and walk into salvation, become alive, enter a state of revival that is supposed to go on for eternity. Life just always continuing to... But what I will tell you is this, which you'll see in the New Testament, is that where the church was in a state of revival, the lost were coming in by the droves. They couldn't help it because there's life. There's life where there is life, I'm telling you, people are swarming to it where it's real. And so let's just start looking at Jesus for a minute. And like I say, I may say some things that challenge you, but I'm going to give you scriptures. I'm going to be as quick as I can this morning. I've got something to do promptly here after a bit, so. But I'll give you the scriptures. I may not get them all read, but you go look at them. Write them down. Go look at them. People, as the church, we tend to use this excuse with our lives, in our failings, in our shortcomings, whatever. You know, Jesus was God. You know, he was perfect. He was perfect. I'm not. I'm just a man. You ever use that excuse? Well, I'm just human. I'm just human, right? Here's something that I want you to get a hold of. And like I say, this may challenge you. Jesus was God, okay? But he was human. He was a body of flesh with the mind of a man. He was. Jesus was God. The word declares it in John chapter 1. It says that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on in verse 14, and it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Three things there. Jesus was God. Then, in Philippians 2:7, Paul says this, that he made himself of no reputation. He became a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, emptied himself of the deity, and chose to live as a man. Live as a man. Was he God? Yes, but he was a man living on this earth the same way that you and I do. The excuse for us that, well, he was God and I'm just a human, just a man. That's true, but I'm saying the enemy wants us to stay in a state of believing that it's okay to walk in mediocrity and not in the fullness of the power of God because we're just human beings. Don't buy it. It's not true. And so then in verse 8, Philippians 2:8, it says that he was in the fashion of a man. The word is schema there. It means in appearance, actions, thinking, and inner workings. He was a man. He humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient, that word means attentively listening, submissive, even to death. Jesus came as a child, right? He came as a child, needing to be taught, raised, learn a trade, be schooled. He He was just like you and I, just like you and I. And I want to give you something. And I know that there will be people who will be saying, well, yeah, I see what you're saying, but he was God. He was. I'm telling you, Philippians says that he chose to lay aside the things of the deity. Even at that, remember when Peter cut off the ear, Jesus had said, you know what, I could call on legions of angels. I could, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be obedient to the Father. He was the perfect example of a human person in a state of revival, always being submissive, attentively listening to the heart of God, not choosing his own way, but choosing the way of the Father. So he came as a child, knowing nothing, needing to be cared for and raised. He spent his life as the son of a carpenter. He learned that as his trade. He was schooled in the Word of God. Luke 2:40. Give you a good glimpse of what it looked like for this Word that became flesh when he was a child. Not going to read it. You go ahead and look. You can look at that. It's a pretty good little verse. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That grace, the divine influence of God, and you know the Word declares that grace teaches us, trains us to live godly lives. Jesus required the grace of God to empower him as he grew up, just like you, just like me. It was a picture that would be on us. He required the grace of God. He was submissive, as seen in Philip, to it, and he became strong and in the spirit, and he was filled with wisdom, and he was in the state of revival. Then Matthew 3:16-17, this is where we see Jesus. We see Jesus being baptized with the baptism of John. So, for all of us who are sitting here denying, okay, Jesus did not have the Holy Spirit at this point. Because the Word just says that all he had was the divine grace and influence of God upon his life. That's what it says to this point. Luke 2:40, that's what it says. Now, in Matthew 3:16-17, it says that Jesus was baptized, and when he rose out of the water, what happened? I saw the Spirit descending on him like a dove. He received and was filled with the Holy Spirit of God at that point right there. Mm-hmm. And then the voice from heaven that said what? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus now, immediately after receiving the Spirit, he began to be led by the Spirit. Not just under an outward divine influence of grace by God, but filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Now it's beginning to happen. You see a picture of your life yet? You see a picture of how the grace of God kept you alive and in a state of life until you came to know him, and then he put his Spirit upon you, filled you with his life to put you in a state of revival and renewal and let the kingdom of God begin to flow through you. A man in revival, in a state of he began to be led by the Spirit, not just under an outward divine influence, but filled with the Spirit and life of God. What happened immediately? Matthew 4:1. Immediately after that episode of him being baptized and the Spirit descending on him, what happened to him? He was immediately led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted and tried by Satan for 40 days with no food. The Spirit can do some things to you, you know what I'm saying? And so he goes out into the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil, leaning, believing. The last thing that God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, being led by the Spirit, kicks the devil in the teeth. Matthew 4, same chapter, Matthew 4:14, it says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He was led out by the Spirit into a trial of life, overcame by leaning on the power of the Spirit of God in his life. And it says that when the episode was done, he returned in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. Then Matthew 4:18 says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Matthew 5:17, the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healings. Just throwing out there what happened under the infilling and empowering of the Spirit of God. Luke 10:21 says that Jesus, he greatly rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:28 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. 1 Peter 3:18, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He was in fact Jesus, desperately and utterly dependent on the Spirit of God to lead him in every decision, action, and word that he would ever speak. He was the ultimate picture of revival and the ultimate picture of what God has meant and destined our lives to be on this planet. Filled with the Spirit of God, in utter desperation, going after him with everything that's in us, leaning on him for every decision, every word, everything that would be in front of us every day of our lives, to be desperate for what it is that God wants to say and God wants to do. Jesus was a picture of that. Yeah, he was God. He put that aside and he walked this thing out the exact same way that we've been called to walk it out. He had no advantage, right? If he had an advantage, then yeah, it's pointless. The point was is that he was our example. The writer of Hebrews says that he is looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The one who's the example, he's the one that we're to follow. He's the blueprint for how this works. Jesus came and showed us. The Father himself came and showed us, set aside his power and showed us what it looks like for the flesh man to yield to the indwelling filling of the Spirit of God and to walk out a life filled with the power of God flowing through him. He was a man in a constant state of revival, always off in prayer, always seeking the Lord. It's, you know, there's no coincidences with his story. Look, there were three, I'll give you three instances of healings for blind people. Jesus one time spits in a guy's eyes. That's odd, right? Another time he reaches down and grabs a handful of dirt, spits in the dirt, makes mud, rubs it on this guy's eyes. And then this guy has to then be led to the water to then clean his eyes out and then to see. And then other time he just spoke and said, your faith has made you whole. Mm-hmm. So there's three different ways that he healed the blind. Let me ask you this. Which one of those is the right way to heal the blind?
All of them.
It's whatever God wants to do, right?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say and only do what I hear the Father's. I only do what I see the Father do. He spent his days, his time, the way in the mountain, praying, seeking. Look, everything that he came upon, every situation, every person, he was yielded to the Spirit of God. All of these scriptures we just looked at, filled with the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, desperate for the Spirit, only willing to do what the Spirit told him the Father was saying, only willing to do what he saw that the Father wanted him to do. He was leaning on that, and that's how he knew. Immediately, spit in this guy's eyes, rub dirt in this guy's eyes, speak to this guy in this fashion, leaning on the Spirit. Now, I also want to throw this out there. I don't know how far we're going to get into this. We're fixing to break for prayer. But one thing that I really, really, really want folks to begin to see. In the teaching of the disciples, see, Jesus spent 3.5 years pouring that thing out on his disciples, showing them, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. When he ascended, they were no longer called disciples, but apostles. They were sent. He sent them out. I'm sending you out. He sent them out now and told them, you go do the same thing with others that I've done with you. Go pour that into others. Continue the state of revival. Continue this thing that we've been doing. There was a time where Jesus had been away praying. The disciples had returned from ministry. He had sent them out two by two. They had just returned in from that. Jesus was out praying. Jesus comes in. There was a man with an epileptic son. And he said, Lord, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't heal him. But if you can, and Jesus is like, uh-uh, there ain't no if. We're going to do it. It's okay. And, you know, so Jesus got that. He healed the kid. Later, the disciples, you know, oh, why couldn't we do it, Lord? Remember what Jesus said, and he didn't. This is not the only time he ever said that to his disciples. Oh, you of little faith, how long will I have to be here to do everything for you? How long will you just depend on me when I have given you? I just sent you out two by two. I gave you the authority to deal with this. How long will you be coming to me and asking me to take care of it for you, clean up your mess? I just want you to begin to think in this way. There's nothing wrong with praying at all for healing for others. There is nothing wrong with it. What I want you to get a hold of is I would like for someone to show me one time that Jesus prayed for someone to be healed. Never. Not once. Not once. I'd like for someone to show me one time that one of the apostles prayed for someone to be healed. Never. Not once. Not one time. You know what they found out in all of that? If I go to him and I yield to him and I'm desperate for him and I'm hungry for him and I'm filled with him, just like they was on the day of Pentecost. I don't know how far we're going to get to that story, but that's what happened there. When the power of God resides on you and in you and you're yielded to that, it does what it does. He does what he does. When we're given, that's what we're here to do. And we'll get to the important part of that. But my point being is this, Jesus spoke and it happened, right? He spoke and it happened. Before, we'll go ahead and do our break and then we'll come back on the inside of that.
Yes, pray for my mom and my sister, Tribal Mercies, as they go to Oklahoma City for some appointments.
We want to pray for my friend Kathy McCammon, who was in a bad car accident last Friday. She has 2 cervical spine fractures, a brain bleed, a broken collarbone, broken ribs, and a laceration on her head. And then my friend Delisha Smith had a procedure last week. She has an aneurysm that's 3.3 millimeters, and they'll use stents and coils to fix it. She will be out of work for a while, and she's also dealing with some heart issues.
And we were praying for
my mom.
Your mom?
Eva and
Traveling?
Renee.
Traveling?
Yes.
Traveling, okay. Yes. Yeah, so Lord, we lift up Eva and Renee.
And then let's not forget Neva and Joe Pyatt, okay, as they will be traveling back from.
Okay, we'll throw them on there with the traveling. Lord God, we declare that you, God, your love is all over them as they go, Lord God. I thank you that you're sovereign. Father, we give you praise that your safety is all around them. Pray that you would dispatch your angels to go with them, a hedge of protection be over them as they travel, Father God, and that your glory would shine through in them and in all that they do, Lord. Lord, we lift up Kathy, who was in a car wreck. Father God, she has all of these issues going on in her body. Lord, we know that it is your absolute desire to heal. Your word declares that that is the truth. Father, we know that you created her in a perfect fashion. So Lord, we speak to her body right now in Jesus' name to come in line with the perfect will of God. We say, be it unto her according to your word. We give you praise, glory, and honor for that healing in Jesus' name. Delisa, is that right? Delisha. Lord, Father, this aneurysm, God, Lord, I just speak to it and its effects to be gone in Jesus' name. We speak that into the atmosphere, Lord. We loose. Your word declares that whatever we would bind on earth would be bound in heaven. It would be a no in heaven and a no on earth. Whatever we would loose on this earth would be a yes in heaven and a yes on earth. God, we loose right now in Jesus' name. We loose all of the full weight of the glory of God and your healing upon her body in Jesus' name. We command that everything that would be a hindrance to unbelief that would be a hindrance to stand aside, that the kingdom of God would come in full measure in the midst of this situation. We give you praise, honor, and glory for your wisdom, your direction, and your power at work in it, in Jesus' name. Okay. Amen.
Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center is doing a baby bottle boomerang. Yeah. So,
baby bottle boomerang.
Yeah. So what it is they throw you a baby bottle. Uh-huh. You put it up in your church, in your home, or your business, and you fill it with change or dollar bills or checks.
Yeah.
And then when it's full, you probably should hand it. Yeah, because I don't think I want to throw this back at them. Yeah. You don't want to throw it back at them. It might hurt somebody, and let's not hurt nobody, y'all. Your change can change lives of others. If you're interested in one of these baby bottle boomerangs, you can go to 500 South Lusk here in Elk City to get you one. You can call 580-243-2229 for more information. And if the Lord or the Holy Spirit draws you to just donate, you can send your donations to P.O. Box 2122, Elk City, Oklahoma, 73648. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And let us not forget Joshua's Crossing Ministries right here in Elk City at the Promise Center. We are so blessed for this. I call it the war room. It's their media room, but I call it our war room.
We got one more prayer request your mama sent.
Oh.
She said, please pray for Robert's dad.
Yes. Thank you, Mama. I was going to put that down, and then it just went.
Yeah, what's going on there?
So he was out. He was on an outing with the VA center and got away from them. He's paralyzed on one side and in a scooter, you know, in the chair. Mm-hmm. And he got away from them and went down some stairs.
No.
Yeah, his intestines are twisted. He's got a broken hip, and he's just pretty banged up.
What's his name?
His name is Robert.
Okay.
Senior.
Robert Senior. Okay. All right. Hey, Lord, we lift Robert to you right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you hold his life in your hands, God. Mm-hmm. That you have a perfect will for his life, Lord. A calling. You have a thing that is inside him, and that is you, Lord God. A work of life. A work of the kingdom. We speak to his body to come in line, to operate as it should, to be whole and well and healed in Jesus' name, God. We give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you at work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is so awesome. Our guest this morning is Jason Wilhelm. His title for today is State of Revival. Back to you, sir.
All right. So we're talking about how that we never seen anybody pray for someone to be healed in the Bible. Never seen that. Not with Jesus or not with the disciples. Just there was, it's just not there. It's the first thing that happens with the church in today's times is to pray. And we see these times where the disciples couldn't get something done, healing someone, and Jesus would say, how long do I have to be with you and do everything for you? Why, when you have it in you to just do it, oh, you of little faith, is what he would tell them. And the point being is that in this state of revival, now they did transition from that, by the way. When you begin to read the book of Acts and you see Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, all on and on and on and on, you see that those guys finally got a hold of what he was saying back there. But at the same time, there's one instance where Peter, there was a girl named Tabitha who had died, and they knew that Peter was close, and they called for him to come, the word says that she was a woman of God and loved the Lord and those things. And Peter came in, he told everyone to leave the room, he knelt and prayed. Doesn't record what his prayer was, because the same way that it doesn't record all of those prayers where it says Jesus went out early in the morning to pray, doesn't record. It was, the point being is that Peter sought the Lord. He went after him with all of his heart. God, what is it you want to do? I would submit this to you. There'll never be a time in your life that you would see someone who's sick and you say, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do here? That God would just say, I want them to die. It's not the Lord. Now, there's a whole total different thing if the Lord says, hey, it's his time. It's okay. I'm bringing him home. That's different. There's peace in that. But I'm just saying, if you don't hear that from the Lord, I'm telling you this, God wants to do something. He's not going to just say, I want them to die. I want them to go away. That's not him. That's not what he wants to say. Peter knelt, Lord, what do you want to do and how do you want to do it? You want me to spit in her eyes? You want me to rub some dirt on her? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It doesn't say what he said, but it says that he knelt and prayed. Then he arose. He didn't pray over her, oh, Lord, raise her from the dead. No, that's not what happened. He prayed, sought the Lord, stood up, heard what God said, and he says, Tabitha, wake up. and her eyes opened. This is a man in the state of revival, under the influence, if you will. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. It's excess. What Paul was saying is this. You drink wine, and it's wasteful because it affects you for a little while, but then it wears off. Don't be drunk with wine because it's wasteful and it's not worth anything, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. Be always being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a life in the state of revival. When he said, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, the word says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, in the tense, it is saying to continually be being filled. That's what it's saying. The word says in the book of Acts that the apostles were being continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. That is a life in the state of revival. I'm running out of time. We'll put it that way.